Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as a society, we really get into Halloween. We love to surround ourselves with creepy, scary things. There are ghosts and spirits floating in the air around us. Those who have died are out to get us. Get ready to jump and to scream. Though we seem to like this scary version of the afterlife, it's not very biblical. The short scripture passage that Travis read this morning and Debbie talked about in the children's time gives us a completely different image. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded, yes, but not by ghosts and goblins, not by malevolent spirits out to get us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have been faithful, those whom we have loved and who have loved us, those who still guide us and show us the way. Instead of being scary, this is a strong and comforting image, sort of the anti-Halloween. We are not alone in our walk of faith. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit, which is the constant presence of God with us, and not only are we in fellowship with others in our faith communities, large and small, but we are also surrounded, held up, bolstered, and guided by those who have gone before us on the way. The very air around us is filled with folks cheering us on, like that stadium, the track meet stadium, full of people cheering us on, praying for us, and encouraging us. And because of them, we are able to move forward. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run, a good track image, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Several years ago, we were privileged to have Dr. Lynn Huber speak to us here at Glennon Heights, and some of us bought a copy of her book, Revelations on the Road, A Pilgrim Journey. In the last chapter of that book, Lynn writes about the necessity of interdependence. She says, "There is a terrible tension in our world between freedom and social control. You either live in a world in which you have a supportive network that both sustains you and puts some controls on your behavior, or you have the freedom to live and die alone. This is not an absolute choice," she says. "No one is entirely alone. But that tension exists." She explains the dark side of this tension. "I believe that our nation has moved too far in the direction of independence. The price for all of us is intolerable. Families are trapped into thinking that they have to do everything alone because they are independent. And they end up shredded by individual responsibilities that as a species we are probably meant to share in community, feeding, clothing, educating, healing, and entertaining ourselves and our children. People suffer terribly from the terror of somehow not measuring up and therefore becoming one of those people who need help." What Lynn says rings true, doesn't it? As modern U.S. citizens, we know this. Independence is our creed. Bruce and I were reminded of this recently as we watched Jacob Sankara from Burkina Faso adjust to being a young adult here in the U.S., Jacob comes from Africa, and he is used to always being in community, always having people around him, always sharing life with others. But here, he needs to find out how to do things alone, take care of himself alone, eat alone, things that we're very familiar with, but they are very foreign to him. He needs to be independent, because independence is our creed. We don't want to be a burden. We learn this from little on up. It's part of the very air we breathe, which is an interesting way of putting it, considering that according to this verse in Hebrews, the very air we breathe is actually populated by the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. It's true that we have the freedom to make choices and live our lives, but what we don't always recognize or take advantage of is that we are also part of a community which helps us live faithfully and do things well. We are a part of a community that together can keep terror at bay. If we are to be healthy and to survive, we will give help and receive help. Both are necessary in the interdependent family of God. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those still living as well as those who have gone before, we are able to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. This morning, I'd like us to pay tribute to our cloud of witnesses by vocally giving it form right here in this room. We will do this by naming names. We're going to start by hearing the names of folks dear to us who have died in the year just past. Our sister, Charmaine Burbank, died on November 6, 2016. I can still see her sitting right there by Barry. Edith Yoder's brother, Jacob Kreider, died on December 31st, 2016. Audrey Ruth's father, Willard Thiessen, died on January 8. Dave Owen's brother, Donnie Owen, died on January 30. Art Umble's father, R. Claire Umble, died on April 19. Mark Miller's father, Dale Miller, died on May 1. Our sister Martha Zook died on May 29. And I'm aware that this day, October 29, is the third anniversary of the death of our dear brother, husband, and father, Merv Eichsty. Each of us has loved ones who have died, loved ones who helped shape our lives and our faith. Each of us has been influenced by folks who are no longer living that we might not have personally known, but who lived lives or wrote things that give us hope. I want you to take a moment now and think about who these people are for you. And now together, not waiting for each other, I want you to speak their names out loud. Let's give voice to the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and upholds us in this sanctuary here today. Say the names.
Mary.
Clara.
Melvin.
Because of all these people who have gone before and those who are with us here and now, we are able to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Because of all these people and those who are with us here and now, we are pointed to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Because of all these people, we know who we are and where we belong. We are brought into the larger, eternal circle of life. And this is no small gift. Thanks be to God. Now, it's perfectly okay to get some thrills from imagining ghosts and goblins and from scaring ourselves with witches and vampires and haunted houses. There's probably cathartic in some weird way. It definitely seems to meet a societal need. But as Christians, we know that death is nothing to be afraid of. Hold that thought. Death is nothing to be afraid of. In Christ, in God, we are eternally held. We are eternally known. We are eternally part of the goodness that animates the universe. When we die, we become part of that great cloud of witnesses, singing God's praises and willing the way forward to a new heaven and a new earth. We may occasionally imagine otherwise, but that is what is real. A couple of weeks ago, Brenda and Bruce and I heard Irish musician John Bell speak at Central Presbyterian Church in Denver. He introduced us to music from around the world, and this morning we'd like to share with you a song from Mexico called We Belong to God. The words for this song are printed on the back of your joys and concerns. Ask you to listen now as Barry, Brenda, Bruce, and I sing this song for you. Then I would like to ask you to take these words with you to reflect on and remind you that there is nothing to fear. In life and in death, we belong to God.
When we are living, we are in the Lord, When we are dying, we are in the Lord, For in our living and in our Sometimes we sorrow, other times embrace His fears. Sometimes we question everything we face, the things we face. Yet Yeah.